Over two centuries ago, it was England that taxed our tea. Now it's Brussels trying to regulate our companies. Under new European regulations, American businesses face crushing fines, forced disclosures, and foreign red tape that kills jobs here at home. America's laws should be written in America, not Brussels. Reject European regulatory overreach and uphold Trump's trade deal. Paid for by Americans for Limited Government.
Hey everyone, it's Kathy.
And Paul here with Idulting.
We're here to help you navigate the crazy world of adulting.
Because let's be real, it's a wild ride. We'll be dropping tips, sharing stories,
and maybe even spilling some embarrassing secrets along the way.
So get comfortable, grab your favorite drink, get ready to laugh, learn, and level up your adulting game. This is Idulting. Don't forget to like, follow, and or subscribe, and share this podcast. Head over to idulting.com for more information and to submit questions for us about adulting.
And maybe even pick up some of our new merchandise. And if you know any fellow adults who need some guidance, send them our way.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Today, we're going to discuss the bane of our existence lately, buying a used car.
This topic has consumed my every waking moment for the last 3 weeks.
Why?
Because I just keep looking and looking, and every car that's affordable is a piece of crap.
What made you have to look so urgently for a car?
Oh, because our child wrecked my car, which he was using to get around, and now neither of us has a car.
He's fine, but if you go back to the episode about driving and driving prep, there's a fluid in a car that should probably be checked regularly.
It's called the oil.
It's like the lubricant, you know.
So he didn't wreck it. He drove it without oil. So there were no accidents involved, but the engine blew. So now I'm in limbo with a car, and so is he.
And so am I. And while we were in this process, we also had another car drama. My wonderful, wonderful car decided one day that it wasn't going to work, so it had to get towed. And two thumbs up for roadside assistance in Life 360, by the way. We don't work for them. We're not affiliated with them, but we do use the product. And the roadside assistance did bail me out.
So we thought maybe we should discuss kind of some things you should know when buying a used car. Because we have done our research over and over and over.
And it's not like it used to be. Used to be able to go look at a car, kick the tires, things were good. Boy, has that changed.
So the first thing you need to do is set a realistic budget.
Would you say that that budget is the same as it was even 5 years ago?
No, used cars are extremely overpriced right now. People also don't realize when they're going to a used car dealer, there's more than just the purchase price of the car. They say, I have $4,000 or $5,000 for a car, and they look at a car that's $4,000 or $5,000. On top of that are tax, title, fees, and the dealer fees vary. It could be anywhere from $500 to $1,500 on top of the car price.
Plus the cost of research, which we'll get into as we go through this episode, nightmare, life experience. Have I mentioned that skills in adulting are great? We've talked about budget. What I used to think about that budget was, you look budget-ish, because you could always make prices move a little. Turns out the market today isn't moving anywhere like it used to.
And when you're buying a used car, it means you are going to have a car. So there are some costs that you need to take into account. Things like car insurance. See if you can call and get a quote on what your car insurance would be approximately based on the car that you're looking to purchase.
If you're a young adult, make sure you're going to stay on your parents' policy or you're going to get your own. Those things all make differences. When it comes to insurance, there's things for really young adults, like grade discounts and defensive driving, that can help with those costs. Registration and taxes. It's all going to depend on where you are and how much that costs and that cost varies even depending on what vehicle you're looking at. For example, a Hyundai Elantra, just throw one out, will cost less to register than a pickup truck.
Correct. And in New Jersey, you pay taxes once when you purchase the car, but you pay your registration every year.
Maintenance and repairs. Used cars are generally going to need some work. Sometimes that's a little bit difficult to get young adults to understand. But the reality is you have to know if you're going to need tires, you're going to need brakes, if the car needs anything else repaired. And that shouldn't come from your emergency fund. You should have your emergency fund, refer to the budgeting episode, but your emergency fund should be for emergencies. These things should be just kind of in your car budget. To put it in a very Ramsey-esque way, your car envelope should have enough to cover them.
And remember the cost of gas. Fuel, diesel, whatever your car takes. If you buy a small little compact car, you might have to put $20 a week in it. But if you buy a big SUV, you might have to put $20 a day in it.
A common tip would be to expect 15 to 20% of your monthly take-home pay to be about what your car is costing, including your payment, gas, insurance, maintenance savings. That's a good guide that you can use. For young adults, if possible, save enough money before you buy a car to avoid payments. The interest rates on used cars aren't good right now. And when you're young, they're even worse.
For your first car, I know you're not when I hear this. Nobody wants to hear. They don't want to hear. They should get a car that's dependable and reliable and safe. They want to hear you should get the cute car with the fancy radio. Not saying that can't be the car you get, but your first car should definitely be something a little safe, something very dependable.
Do a little research on this. Most of the used car websites show some of these ratings, but you can look them up independently. Like the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, or the IIHS, the National Highway Traffic Safety Association. The newer the car, they often have critical safety features like electronic stability control, anti-lock brakes, airbags. Side note, important. When you're buying a used car, if it's not coming from a top-tier dealer, meaning like you go to your local Ford dealer, make sure the airbags are actually there. Just saying, it's unbelievable what's on some of these lots that these dealers try to sell you, scam you with.
Remember, look for a car that's reliable. Research the specific year, make, and model that you're interested in. Look for brands known for reliability and lower repair costs, such as Toyotas, Hondas, Mazdas, and Subarus.
Hyundai's, Kia's, closely behind that. Research the specific car you're looking for. You've gone through Car Gurus, Auto Trader, Bob's Car website. You find a car you like. This is what we do. You go, ideally, to the dealer's website to get the Carfax report so you start getting some information. There's two big ones out there. There's Carfax and there's AutoCheck. Both of them are helpful to give you the service information. If needed, because you've done it on Facebook Marketplace or this is a car you're buying from the local gas station, auto repair place, you should get the VIN and run your own Carfax. It's not inexpensive. I'm now finding that you need to put that into your budget. So what it'll tell you previous accidents or damage, title statuses, avoid cars with salvage or flood titles, odometer rollback, or mileage discrepancies. Yes, we've seen these. Number of previous owners. That gets a little bit dicey. You have to really read the Carfax. Another thing that we discovered through Carfax/Facebook Marketplace, cars can be totaled and retitled. So look for gaps in the mileage history, particularly around accidents. If there's a missing chunk of that car's history, be suspect.
I also learned today that you can sell a car and where it says clean title, it can say title R. And I didn't know what that was. So I looked it up and a title R is a rebuilt car that gets a rebuilt title. So you buy the car and then you can get a brand new title for it. But when they sell it to you, they have to let you know that it's a Title R.
Very cool. One of the things I look for on the Carfax is the service record, because I want to know that it's had reasonable service over the course of its life. I look particularly for oil changes. Sensitive to that now. If you go too long without an oil change, your motor doesn't sound good at all.
Your car report will also tell you if there's any open recalls. In my brain, if there's an open recall and someone didn't take care of it already and it's from 5 years ago, they're probably not maintaining the car the best way they should.
I also look at it this way. If it's at a dealer and it has an open recall and that dealer doesn't care enough to get that done before they sell the car, suspect. Next step is inspect and test drive. Now, you'll notice we've done quite a bit of work here before we've done it, and we use a couple different websites. There's a decent website out there called Car Complaints. We look for a particular sticker, and we find it a lot.
Clunker.
Avoid this clunker. We've even found, in looking at cars, some beautiful cars. Avoid like the plague. Kudos to Car Complaints for making it easy to see. The other thing we have a particular talent for, Car Complaints will tell you the worst year manufactured. We are so good at finding cars that are wonderful and fit all our needs that are the worst years manufactured.
Now, never buy a used car without thoroughly checking it out. Do a pre-purchase inspection. This is the most critical step. So arrange for an independent mechanic, one that you choose, not the seller chooses, to inspect your car before you finalize the purchase. It usually costs you a couple dollars, but you can save thousands in hidden repairs.
Have we gotten any tips from our mechanic?
We have brought 3 cars to the mechanic that we've looked at, and 3 times he said no.
Well, one, he said, you might get a year or two out of this car.
But one, he also said, don't walk away, run.
And one, he actually asked Kathy, who's driving it, back to the dealer to make sure that it wasn't my children. That particular one had 4 bald tires and a bad computer.
Also, test drive your car. Drive on both the city streets and the highways. Test acceleration, braking, steering, all at different speeds. Listen for unusual noises, any kind of ticking or grinding or rattling. Test all the electronics, your AC, your heat, your radio, your power windows, headlights, turn signals, and believe it or not, even your side mirrors.
I once test drove a car, and the particular dealer I was at, I won't give the name because they'll probably be not happy. I pulled out of the first driveway. They had 2 driveways for this dealer. Before I got to the next dealer, 100 feet away, would you say?
Pulled
in because I was afraid I was going to get hurt in this car. And dealers have these on lots and they're trying to sell them to your children. Be afraid. Another time, we bought a car that looked beautiful. It looked so clean. It looked new. Under the hood, undercarriage, everywhere. It was a warmish day and we didn't fully check to make sure the heat worked. Like, it got warm, but we never waited long enough to see if it got hot. Yeah, that was a $2,500 repair. Make sure you check every feature in these cars to know whether it's working or not. You may decide that it's okay and you're going to buy it anyway, but know what you're buying before you do.
Do a quick self-inspection. Check the exterior for mismatched paint. That's a sign of a dent, a repair, damage that didn't get fixed right. Body panel gaps, like if you're looking at the car and part of it sticks out further than the rest, probably was in an accident that went unreported. Check under the hood for fluid leaks. That way, when you go to the mechanic, you can say, hey, I noticed this leak right here, this oil, this fluid. Where's it coming from? Check the tire tread depth. It should be about the head of Abe Lincoln on a penny.
Yes, that's an excellent field test for it. Do not be pressured by the dealer into rushing or meeting these sellers at night in a parking lot somewhere. You want to see these cars during the day. If it's even in the evening, you want to make sure you bring a nice bright flashlight and clothes that you can get under, around, and all over. You're going to spend a significant amount of money on this purchase. So make sure you know everything you can possibly know. Facebook Marketplace, we could do a whole episode on that one. If the car is registered, say, in Florida, you're viewing it in Pennsylvania from a guy who lives in New York City who joined Facebook 3 minutes ago, and
the car was registered in Montana 3 months ago.
Yeah, that those are all what I call red flags. Just throw it out, move on. It's not worth going to spend your time on.
Now, remember to know your value. Be prepared to negotiate by knowing the fair price of the car. Do your research. Look it up on Kelley Blue Book or Edmunds. Find out what the car is worth. Use the issues that you find, if your mechanic says there are some, to negotiate your price down.
Additionally, your Carfax can help you with this. If the car was purchased at auction, the dealer is going to sell you this line of bull crap. I don't have any room to move on it. We've heard from dealers now, more than one dealer, that they do have room to move on it. Seller's market right now has made it such that they feel the need, they don't need to move. Well, you know who gets to move? I do. On to the next dealer. So they have room to move if they want.
And it's okay if you thought it was the best car ever and you really got your hopes up to be disappointed, but walk away. If it's not a good deal or there's too much wrong with it, walk away. There are hundreds of thousands of cars for sale right now. You'll find another one.
Now, when buying from private sellers, sometimes the price is lower, sometimes it's a little bit higher because they're emotionally attached to the car, but they usually have a little bit more wiggle room in their asking price, so don't be afraid to ask. The other thing is, when you're buying from a private seller, you can expect that there is no warranty at all. A dealer may offer you a 30-day warranty. Welcome back. When you're finalizing, make sure you read all the contracts carefully before signing. Most of them, if it's a dealer, are canned and they'll explain it to you, but take a look at what you're signing. And buyer beware, they add a lot of extras at the end. I am the wrong guy to be talking about it. I think I actually have insurance on the pen they gave me to sign the contract with and a warranty that goes with the click-to-click pen. I'm really terrible with it. I have my reasons after having a car blow up on me and the warranty argument I had with it, but make sure you're not buying extra things you don't need, want, or can't afford.
Now, here's a breakdown of some of the biggest red flags categorized by the type of problem they indicate. Pricey and urgency red flags. The deal is too good. Scammers often lure you in with a low price, then pressure you to act fast before you can do your research.
The honest answer there is there's always more cars tomorrow.
And the phrase too good to be true is there for a reason.
Never, never, never give a deposit to someone you're purchasing something from without seeing it, without having the keys. Like, don't trust this nice guy you meet in Facebook Marketplace to just do this. It's fairly well-known scam. List something, get you to give a deposit, and some of them are pretty elaborate, and then just you're gone and ghosted. So just don't do it.
Be wary of sellers who push for a quick sale with excuses like, I'm moving overseas next week, or my relative died and I need to sell it immediately. People will tell you, oh, I have six people coming to look at it tomorrow. The goal is to prevent you from getting a pre-purchase inspection and being able to do your research.
Now, let's talk about that just for a minute. And I know this is getting a little bit lengthy, but some of the things we have seen this time looking for cars, I have never seen this level of scammery, if that's a word. We take our cars for a pre-purchase inspection to Mavis. It's a dealer, a repair shop that we use and we have friends in and we trust. They check the computer. We have had issues with every single one of these that are coming from dealers. Dealers that would let us drive away in these cars. And it takes Mavis 5 minutes, if that?
15 minutes, yeah.
To be like, you'd be nuts to buy this car. So I don't know what has made dealers think that it's okay to just sell this crap to people, but we're not falling for it, and we don't want you to either.
I'm going to read a few red flags, and Paul's going to tell you, after I say it, what scam it suggests. So the first one is, the seller refuses to let your mechanic inspect the car, and they only allow inspection at their mechanic.
What that is telling me, this car's got major hidden defects, and they don't want an independent expert to find. We found this already. They're resetting the computers to get rid of the check engine code. And then you drive away, and some of the codes, it takes 200, 250 miles before the code's going to come on, like an EVAP sensor. We found that on, was it two or three of the cars we had done? On two cars.
The second is, the seller does not have the original title in their name. The VIN on the title doesn't match the car, or they have a poor excuse for why the title is missing, like I left it at home.
This is a red flag that the car could have been stolen, could have a lien on it, or could be the victim of title washing. I found out more than I ever wanted to know this time looking at cars about title washing and how they even go as far as take them to Mexico with total cars to get clean titles.
The third one is, the seller refuses to provide a report like a Carfax or an auto check, or provides one that seems manipulated or inconsistent.
The answer to that, incidentally, is you can go on Carfax, sign up for your own. It's not inexpensive, but it's bailed us out already here. What they're hiding is previous accidents, flood damage, or the fact that it's a salvage title.
The fourth one is, the mileage on the car is inconsistent with service records or its physical wear. Worn pedals, seats, low mileage on a car.
Rollback is a misnomer. We used to be able to do it in cars when they weren't digital, but it is an indication of odometer fraud. Falsifying the mileage and they are inflating the price. Believe it or not, we've seen that also in this round of looking at cars.
Right, and it's actually not as hard as it looks, because when you register your car, you have to write down the mileage on the car. That's how it gets recorded.
In one case, the auction house that the car was sold at actually reported on the Carfax that we purchased, not the one we saw, because this was a Facebook deal, an odometer misreporting or something, a discrepancy. The only answer the seller gave was, I know nothing about anything before I got it.
Now remember, some of these red flags relate to seller's behavior and their requested method of payment or meeting. If they refuse to meet you in person or say they're out of town, you shouldn't send them money. Never send money for a car you haven't seen.
How about send me a small deposit so I can hold it for you or I'm meeting with another person? My response was, good luck with your sale to the other person. How about this one? Have we seen this one this time? Odd meeting location.
Yeah, because we were looking at a car and they wanted to meet in a parking lot.
At 8 p.m. How about insistence on unsecured payment? The seller demands payment via wire transfer, gift cards, or generic money order.
Because the plan is they're selling you a bad car, a car that's stolen, or a car you're never going to actually get, and they're walking away with your money.
I actually have a friend of my brother's, a little bit younger than us, that almost went to jail for purchasing a stolen car back in high school. That's how long this scam's been going on.
And if the seller is unable or unwilling to answer simple questions about the car's history, maintenance, or why they're selling it, big red flag.
Or just today, our daughter was looking at one of these cars through Facebook Marketplace. She just asked a simple question, and the seller got all snarky with her because he wasn't going to provide the Carfax and didn't want it to go to a mechanic. That was her first experience with, okay, walk away and block them. Your biggest thing that you can do when you're looking at these cars, biggest, is the pre-purchase inspection by a quality shop that's on your side. Not, we've had this too. We were looking at a car. We actually currently own it for one of our children. We were test driving the car and a problem was found. The seller immediately took us to his shop because the seller refused to sell it to us with that problem, had the problem fixed, and then wouldn't take any more money. That's an example of how things go the right way.
Right. An honest seller has nothing to hide. If they do, refuse, walk away, be done with it.
The best place to look for a used car often depends on your priority. Do you value the lowest price, the highest level of reliability and peace of mind, or the most convenience? What we're looking for is a combination of that, because we have a budget. We want a reliable car that's going to give a couple years of service to us, and we want it mostly convenient. So here's a breakdown of the most reliable places to look for used car, categorized by the experiences they offer.
So if you're looking for the best convenience and peace of mind, you can buy a car from CarMax, Carvana, or RoomShift. They're all online platforms that will deliver a used certified vehicle to you.
And all out of our budget currently, which would be a life tip for young adults. Save your money. Put your little car envelope away and put some money in it each week. It makes it that when you blow up mom's car, you don't have to walk to school.
And there are traditional dealerships. They offer a range of used cars, and franchise dealers have the most reliable used car options available. They have certified and they have pre-owned.
Independent dealers, I'm only going to say buyer beware. If you're an independent dealer and you're listening to this show and you happen to be in the rural area of Sussex County, please reach out for us, because I can give you a list of not reliable, and I won't do that because this is limited exposure, but the experience has been absolutely horrible. At some point, when we have many more thousands of listeners than the 60,000 or whatever we have downloads now, maybe I'll start blasting these guys, because they should not be in business selling cars to anyone, let alone first cars to kids.
If you ask around locally, you will definitely hear what dealerships have a better reputation than others. We have found that dealerships that we've had better success with usually will give you a Carfax, and they also will offer you a warranty, some sort of warranty, even if it's only for 30 days. They're standing by the car they're trying to sell you.
I, at this point, won't do any deal with an independent dealer that doesn't offer a Carfax. Just personal choice, because that tells me already that they're not opposed to hiding things, or they just are so scamming that they don't care or know. Used car rental car sales is another place. Heard great things about it. I've never done it, but we have a relative that has recently did this, and it was a great experience. I have looked at their website. Unfortunately, this time it's out of our budget.
Now, there's also online marketplaces. It's typically the best place for a wide selection of cars. If you don't know what kind of car you want, they have pretty much every make and model available.
Such as Car Gurus, Auto Traders, Car.com. I haven't gone to this one, but Auto Tempest. Kelly Blue Book offers listings, and Edmunds. We've looked at all of these. It actually feels more like a full-time job than a hobby lately.
And you can also choose a private seller. They typically will give you the best price. There's no taxes. There's no dealer fees. And they're willing to move a little. They typically put their car out there for a little more than they're expecting, so that they've can negotiate and you can come down a little and everybody wins.
Again, beware though, you have to use common sense with the private sellers. One would think things as large as cars aren't a common thing for scams, but they're all over the place out there, everyone.
Right. And the biggest scams we've found so far have been Marketplace, Craigslist, Cars.com, all the private sellers that aren't really people selling their cars. They're sneakily buying and selling cars like a dealer, but not licensed.
We're just on the surface of that. I'm pretty sure people have been disappeared going to look at some of these cars. Like, it's pretty sketchy. Meet me in Fairfield, even though I live in Connecticut, and at 9 o'clock at night, don't tell anyone you're coming. And could you bring a gold bar with you? I mean, this is like some of the stuff we're hearing out there. It's insane.
We just wanted to give you guys some tips on how to buy a used car in case you're in the market for one, and to try, please try, to avoid the red flags. Do your research, and I hope you get a reliable, safe car.
And if you currently have a vehicle, please go check the oil. Thanks for listening.
Just remember, you've got this, adults. Keep your head up, your spirits high, and keep adulting with us. Go forth and conquer the world, or at least your to-do list.
And don't forget to like, follow, and or subscribe. Tell your friends, share the podcast, and head over to adulting.com for more information and to connect with us. See you on the next episode. Be safe.